This morning I'm going to be taking my thoughts from John chapter 4, beginning at verse 27 through 42. As I said, it's always good to be back. It's good to be here with everyone. And one of the blessings that we do have as Christians, and especially within the church, is knowing that we can go just about anywhere and be able to worship and be welcomed. And we definitely feel welcomed here. I know my mom had told me several years ago, it doesn't really matter where we're at, just knowing that we're at church on Sunday and partaking around the Lord's table. And she knows that we're all doing it the same way, and that's a blessing to her, and that's a blessing to us as well. And a great blessing that I don't think a lot of people really realize. And so it's just really, really good to be back here amongst you all. And we really appreciate it and appreciate the offer to come teach for you this morning. So I'll read John 4, beginning at verse 27, as an introduction, where it says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye that ye are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look unto the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, and both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that they would tarry with them, and abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You know, I actually was given this a while back as a study, and it was a study about the woman at the well, and I thought, you know, what could I really pull out of this lesson? And it surprised me that there was 5 or 6, or actually maybe even 7, principles that we can gather from just these few verses. And I thought it was definitely beneficial not only to go through it, but also to share with others. And so we're going to go through these verses this morning and look at some of those things that I found, and hopefully, and in some way, it will strengthen you and encourage you to serve God a little bit better if you so think you need to. You know, in verse 27, the disciples had gone to town and actually to find food for Jesus. If we were to read the entire chapter, you'd see that in verse 8, that they were sent to do that. And when they had come back, they noticed that Jesus was actually talking to this woman at the well. And they kind of marveled amongst themselves, and they kind of stood off to the side. They didn't approach him, and they didn't question him. They just, it's kind of like somebody almost murmuring off to the side, hey, you know, you see him talking to that woman over there. And this was because, and they kind of marveled at it because this was not customary at that time for Jesus to be talking to this woman. This was because it wasn't customary for the Jews to be speaking to Samaritans, and it was also not customary for a man to speak to a woman. And this is still a custom today in some countries, and there are even some canons among the rabbins, and what that is it's the chief Jewish authorities of matters of the law and doctrine. They still have laws today that, and even to the extent, that if a man saw his wife in town, he wasn't actually supposed to speak to her in public. And this was so that you could keep the appearance of chastity and purity and temperance. And there was actually even a saying a long time ago that a man said, convince sparingly, if at all, with a woman, and never do it alone. And, you know, as a married person, that's definitely wise advice. You shouldn't go and speak to a woman alone, because it doesn't sometimes look good, and rumors can be started. But in addition to these rules, the disciples also might have been wondering why he was actually talking to the Samaritan, who they actually expected no spirituality in her. And they could have listened to the conversation of the master by going up there, but they decided to hold back. And it says there, yet no man said, you know, nobody said anything to Jesus. They just kind of stood off to the side, and they were awed by his majesty. And they had to have known that he had a good reason to actually speak to this woman. And they kind of left him alone with reverence and respect so that he could continue that conversation. But what was neat was the woman's reaction in verse 28. You know, the fact that she had this conversation, and then through this conversation she was so excited that she was able to, or that she actually left her water pot and went and left and told others about what had happened. You know, to add to this, we can actually see that sometimes we are responsible to have to leave aside some of the things and some of our responsibilities to do the work of the Lord. You know, we can reflect on the verses of that include the disciples when they were spoken to by Jesus. You know, we saw their willingness to leave their nets and their boats and actually follow Jesus in Matthew 4, verses 20 and 22. And they were apparently prosperous. You know, they were actually doing good as fishermen because they were hiring more people. We saw in Mark 1 and verse 20. You know, so here we have fishermen that when Jesus talked to them, they were willing to leave their work, leave their jobs, and go do the work of the Lord. And here this woman was out getting water, and she left her role and left what she was doing and went and told others about Jesus. You know, these are great examples for us and something that we need to really think about sometimes. And when we become a Christian and we know the truth, you know, hopefully, you know, we are excited about it, and I think we are. But oftentimes we harness that excitement just amongst ourselves, amongst our brethren, and amongst our families. And we don't share that excitement outside of the faith. We don't make it known to others as we should and start to tell others. You know, we need to not worry about ourselves, not worry about our reputation, and worry about how others might feel. We need to share this excitement with them and tell others about Christ. You know, today, are we failing to lead others because of our lack of enthusiasm, because of our lack of excitement? You know, I worry about our enthusiasm sometimes when we don't always come to worship as we should, when we aren't as excited about being able to actually come to services. You know, you think about it, and what, you know, Randy said in his prayer, you know, we have a blessing of being able to worship without fear of harm coming to us. There's so many countries that don't get to share in this. They actually, you know, it's a threat to their life if they go to a worship service. And yet, sometimes we take it for granted, and we don't get excited about being able to come. You know, so does our lack of excitement actually hinder the work? And, you know, you look at the examples that I mentioned. You know, these people were excited enough to leave what they were doing and share the Lord with others. And sometimes, and, you know, I point the finger at myself too, we get caught up with our daily lives, we get caught up with our work, that we don't share the Lord and do what we should, and don't get as excited about it as we should as well. And, you know, that's something that I just want us to think about and consider sometimes, is how excited are we about the Lord? But when you look at the story, how did this woman really know that she was the Messiah? You know, there's a key here that really kind of ties this all together. You know, the Jews believed one essential characteristic of the Messiah was that he would be able to tell others the secrets of their hearts. They believe this was predicted in Isaiah 11, verses 2 and 3. It says there, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. and shall make him quick to understand in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after his sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. You know, at one time, there was a man who actually claimed to be the Christ. This imposter's name was Barchochabab, who rose up under the Empire Adrian. And this was about 100 years after the death of Christ. You know, he pronounced himself to be the Messiah. And actually, he deceived people for about 2 years. And after this 2 years, people were starting to question and really wonder if he really was the Messiah. So what they did is they took a group of people that he did not know. Some were vicious, and some were very good. And they asked him to point out who was righteous and who wasn't. Well, he wasn't able to do that. And that therefore, that was their proof to them that he was not the Messiah. And because of this, you know, and because he was the imposter, they put him to death. You know, the warning for us today is that we have proof of the knowledge of the truth. You know, it's been proven, it's been established. We know that the Word of God is true, and therefore we should follow it. In addition, Jesus knows our hearts. We can have the appearance of good on the outside and possibly be able to fool others as well and make them think that we're good. But God knows our hearts. If we're struggling with sin, we need to try and eliminate it through study, through prayer, and from removing ourselves from these temptations. Further in the verse, he said to them, the woman had said to the men that she had come up and approached, "Is this not the Christ?" You know, she's asking them a question. She believed it, but she proposed the question to them in a modest way, lest she was actually dictating or demanding to them that this was actually the Christ. And this is an important case for us. You know, it's another great example for us today. We cannot dictate and tell people that they have to believe in Christ. We must lead them, we must share with them the word, but they have to make the decision, and they need to act upon what they believe. But we have to act in a way that makes people eager to hear, and we have to help them to make, by sharing the word with them, and help them make educated decisions on their own. When you look through the scriptures and examples, we see many people's reactions towards the truth. And that's something that we, again, should realize. You know, when the people asked, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, they heard enough to believe, and therefore they reacted. When the man said, "Here is water, what must I do to be baptized?" He had heard enough, he believed, and therefore he reacted. It wasn't dictated to him that, you know, "Here's water, go down there and be baptized." We have to make the decisions ourselves. And we have to show forth the excitement, and we have to show, we have to know enough, and therefore we have to study enough to know what we have to do to be saved. And in doing so, you know, people can't dictate to us that we do believe, or what we do believe. We have to believe what we have to believe is what the scriptures teach us. And in doing that, that will lead us to the way in which we're supposed to go. What were the results? You know, the woman's success was actually very immediate. Her simple testimony had such an effect on those that she actually spoke to that they left and went to Jesus again. A good explanation then led people to Christ. The following verses involve the conversation between Jesus and the disciples now, prior to the people of Sychar actually coming back and meeting with Jesus. You know, when the disciples now, you know, that woman had left, she's going to go get the people. Now the disciples obviously come back around him by the well, and they were hungry. They had gone to go try and get food, and they prayed him, or they asked him. You know, they knew that Jesus must have been suffering from a lack of food. And they said, you know, "Hey, we need to go get something to eat." You know, the Lord, however, seizes every opportunity to raise the minds of the disciples and the minds of us through whatever medium he has or whatever exercise that he can in using earthly matters. You know, the disciples are wondering if he had got some meat in a prenatural way, and therefore he's really not suffering from hunger. I'm sure they could remember the miraculous interventions of feeding Elijah by the raven, from the ravens at the brook of Cherith in 1 Kings 7, verses 17, verses 4 through 6. And they also knew that God could intervene anywhere, and they could have intervened for him. But the Lord begins to teach them a lesson of zeal and earnestness to the apostles and their successors, which are you and I. We should let the salvation of souls be nearer and dearer to us than physical nourishment. Rest, reading, thinking, study, prayer, all things that we do should be directed to the accomplishment of the Lord's work. You know, he's given us the ability to do this, and therefore we should carry it out. We should imitate the Savior. Souls are perishing because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of doing his word, and a lack of enthusiasm, such as what was expressed here by these people. The great object and design of Christ's life was to do the will of God. He came to the well tired, thirsty, and hungry because it was mealtime. Yet even though it was, he put aside physical needs and took care of the spiritual needs of others. You know, and we need to learn to do this as well at times. Our goal in life is not to always fulfill our physical needs, but the spiritual needs, and to do God's will. You know, we've been given the keys to the kingdom, or the knowledge of his word. We need to share that with others. And about verse 35, he starts talking about the harvest. In Palestine, the harvest didn't come until after the Passover, which was really fixed on the 14th day of Nisan, which is our March and extends into April. The barley harvest was the first, then the wheat, and both were finished by Pentecost. And if you remember, the feast of Pentecost included the first fruits of the harvest, and they were to be carried to the temple and weighed before the Lord. It does not appear that the Lord wanted anything, the Lord meant anything by it more than an illustration of the present subject. There were ordinarily 4 months from seed to harvest that man did, and actually what it would take to actually to raise your crops and then to bring them in. After he had sown the seed, and after a person sows the seed, they have to patiently wait for the harvest to come. And I think we all understand that. But this was not the case now, which is kind of exciting. The seed of life that had actually been sown just a few hours before was already starting to bring forth fruit. He tells them to look up at the field, you know, because the harvest was coming in. And this was, you know, the woman had gone to Samaria and told the other men, and now they're coming back. They're seeing the harvest come in from what he had already from the seed that he already planted earlier. They were coming to him based on the conversation that the woman had with him earlier. So what an exciting thing, you know, if you think about it, being able to tell somebody and then, you know, within a few hours, be able to see the results of a study or just being able to share the word with somebody. And it's an exciting thing. And this is something that they got to experience. You know, the reaper had already received his wages. You know, the heavenly sower, Jesus Christ, becomes the reaper of the seed, which he had just recently sown. So the sowers and the reapers here, being one and the same, rejoice being able to see the seed that he had planted and to be able to be harvested on the same day. He had actually not even left the field before the harvest was coming back in. You know, similar proverbs were used among the Jews, and examples are in Isaiah 65 and verse 21, Leviticus 26 and verse 16, and also Micah 6 and verse 15, if you're taking notes. One man may preach the gospel and think that there is little or no effect. Another who teaches or follows him might be sometimes crowned with a success or think that he had the success by what he did. But the seed was long buried. A seed planted a long time ago might eventually produce its effects and results several years later. And one of the things that we need to understand is the little things that we do can impact somebody. You know, the results, and we should not care about the glory and the result and being the one that, you know, look what I did. You know, that should not be our focus. Our focus should be to plant the seed, to continue to live the life that we should, and eventually and hopefully that seed would be harvested and produce some success. Everything we do can have an impact on somebody, either negative or positive. You know, perhaps some little thing or some little way in which you're helping someone will bring them to the point that when they're either home studying or hearing a lesson or doing something might cause them to react. The main thing here is never think that you don't have an impact on someone's life just because they're not reacting the way you want them to or not coming to the Lord as quickly as you want them to. Just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, and eventually the impact will come. Then the commission given to preach the gospel, they were told to go out and preach. One of the things that he points out here is that they have not labored or toiled in preparing for the way of the harvest, which was now gathered in. You know, other men had labored. The prophets who had long labored to prepare a way for the coming of the Messiah were some of the ones that actually had cultivated the field. The teachers among the Jews who have read and explained and taught the law were also some that had cultivated the field as well. John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way, and the Savior himself, who taught by his own ministry, are those who have helped cultivate the field and prepared a way of success. And all we have to do is continue to do what we are supposed to do and follow his word, and that will help continue to cultivate as well. What we should learn is we should never boast over the success of others, over saving souls, or something that we did. That's not what we should do. The labor of everyone is very important. God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 states that. And it's not us that does the increase. We can just be a part of it. We should not be discouraged when we don't see immediate results. Every part of the work of the ministry and teaching of men is needful. And we should be rejoicing, and we should be excited that we're actually just a part of that. And we should all be participating and be a part of the work. The key is, it doesn't matter if we are sowers or if we're reapers, but the fact that we're actually working and doing the will of the Lord. Now, this woman had a key role in directing some towards Christ. She went and told her fellow citizens and that the Lord was the Messiah, and then she gave proof for that. And the reason why she could give proof was because he knew some of her deep down secrets. And this is actually a repeat, and this was, I'm actually at verse 39, and this is actually a repeat of verse 29. And this was further indicating that she had a very deep conversation with Jesus, and he knew many things in her life. You know, we are not told of the many miracles that he did before them, and it does not really appear to have been that necessary because he had already proved himself. They were a simple-hearted people, they were teachable, and they credited him on his truth. You know, and why no miracles now? Well, miracles were given to establish the doctrine in Christianity. They were there when they were first preached to establish the truth. We profess that we believe these doctrines because they have been established, they have been proved, and therefore we just trust in them and we believe in them, and we carry out the works, and we should carry out the works that are in them. When doctrine is credited, no miracle should be necessary anymore. In verses 41 and 42, on seeing and hearing the Lord, the faith of those who had heard the woman's testimony was abundantly confirmed. Many others believed, whom the woman had not had a chance to speak to. The promised Messiah was indeed the Christ, the Messiah of the world, and the Savior of the world, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles and to all. And it's carried down to us today, and that's a blessing for us all today. We have the blessing of salvation because the new law establishes a way for us. Because we know him, we need to share his word, his truths, and the ability for others to be saved as well. And we should be excited to share this with others. You know, from the study, I hope that you've gained some encouragement and you'll be able to share some of the things that you know and be able to start, and hopefully it will encourage you to start talking with more people that you know about Christ. You know, today we should, as a kind of a recap, and let's not be so concerned about ourselves and our duties that we never tell others about Christ, or we become too busy that we just don't want to try and find the time to tell others about Christ. That should be on the forefront of our minds. God's word does not fatigue and weaken, but refreshes and strengthens us. It's our meat for the soul, and we should continually feed the soul. You know, Christ knows our hearts. Never try and put up a facade, especially to him. He knows our hearts, and he knows our desires. So if you have something that you need to make right, you need to make it right. This is a lesson of zeal and earnestness as well. Our goal in life is not to always fulfill our physical needs, but it's to see to the spiritual needs of others and doing God's will. Also, the labor of everybody is important. It does not matter, again, if we're sowers or reapers, but that we're all working and active in doing the work of the Lord. The harvest is definitely ready. You know, if we look out in the world, the harvest is there. We need to cultivate and help teach others about Christ. And today, I just ask us all to look at ourselves. And if we, are we carrying out the work of the Lord with earnestness and with the excitement that these people had? And if we're not, perhaps we could work a little bit harder and be a little bit more excited about doing the work of the Lord, and perhaps we'll see a bigger result. That's my thoughts for this morning, and I hope it's been beneficial for you and beneficial for the time. We never like to close without offering an invitation. If you're here, you've heard a sufficient portion of God's word, you believe in it, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that before men, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins, now's an opportunity that you could do that. If you're here also and you are a Christian, you've sinned, and you need to make some things right before the church, now's an opportunity to do that as well. And if you be of either case and you need to... We'd ask that you would come forward and make those wishes known while we stand and while we sing.